Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. Thank you all for joining me. John Turk's at the helm. We've got some great sound for you. We've got the Olympics coming up today on August 8th, 2008. So I'm going to run by several things by you this morning. We've got some great sound lined up. We've got the Clinton interview with Kate Snow from ABC, and we might play the whole thing in the entirety, just to warn you. In the second break, I think we'll do it. So if you've been waiting and panting to hear that, we pared down, John pared down the Africa stuff so that we only have the nut of it, which is how Bill Clinton really is feeling these days. So we're going to take Bill Clinton's temperature via his interview with Kate Snow. That'll be coming up in the second segment of this morning show. We've got some sound from Governor of Maryland Martin O'Malley, who talks about Exxon and Mobil. Forgive me, I'm a little hoarse this morning. And we're also going to talk about the Olympics, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about in terms of that. And we're going to have some fun with the favorite TV shows, the favorite movies, and the movies that made them cry, their musical faves. We'll talk about a lot of that with the candidates, too. And you may have some surprises in store. 303-713-7600. This is the final day of my fill-in for Jay Marvin, this stint anyway. I've been happy to be with you this week. If you didn't get your licks in any way, please do it now. Now, sorry, I had to wet my whistle because I've got something stuck in my craw. Anyhow, the former Lost Boy will lead the U.S. Olympians in Beijing. That's about to start now, as a matter of fact, but because of the vagaries of international television and because they want more ratings, we won't be seeing it until tonight on NBC's channels. So a U.S. athlete who overcame the chaos of war in Sudan to become a middle-distance runner in the U.S., he will carry the flag. Lopez Lemong, a 23-year-old competitor, will, in the 1,500-meter race, will lead the U.S. Olympic team as the flag bearer. He is a member of Team Darfur, a group of athletes committed to raising awareness about chronic violence in the region of Sudan. However, they banned Joey Cheek. They let him in. He's going to march. Human rights activists should fault China for doing too little to pressure Sudan, because it's their major trading partner. The unremitting bloodshed in the Darfur region, according to a CNN article, estimates that 300,000 people have died, 2.5 million have been forced from their homes in a campaign of violence in Darfur. So, meantime, speed skater gold medalist Joey Cheek, who is a member of Team Darfur, he is their co-founder, China revoked his visa and didn't really say much about it. Now, it's also to the swimmer, Amanda, and I'm now blanking on her last name, posed naked for PETA. And as soon as I can get that up, posed naked for PETA. And, you know, there's a prohibition against holding press conferences in the Olympic Village, but apparently she went ahead and held it, tried to hold it yesterday. Amanda Beard, bared skin to save animal skins. And so she tried to hold a big press conference yesterday at a hotel in Beijing, and the Chinese put a ixnay kibosh on it. Now, so that's the latest in Olympic news. Joey Cheek banned. The runner will be Lopez Lemong, will be the flag bearer in the Olympic ceremonies tonight, which I'll probably watch a little bit of, but I'm not very enthusiastic about this. I had the wonderful opportunity to see the Dalai Lama earlier this year, and even though he's making noises of conciliation with the Chinese government, I can't stand what they've done in Tibet, and I just have a hard time with the leaden toys and everything else. I don't know. I hope I'm blown away. I have a good feeling of brotherhood, but quite frankly, I don't know. The sporting stuff, there's so much scandal now about steroids and everything else and hormones, and some of they're actually having to test the athletes to figure out which one of them are male and female as well. I find the whole thing kind of creepy. In a way. So maybe you share my sentiments, maybe you don't. 303-713-7600. I'll probably dip in and out of watching it. I have some friends from Microsofties, of course, who are actually attending. They have a couple of friends in the competition. One of them is from Australia. The other one's from here. So they should be having fun, but I don't know. I just... I'm not all that enthusiastic about it this year. Now, big news on the convention front. Hillary Rodham Clinton gave a speech on the internet, basically. It's been circulating around a backyard meeting that she had, actually, for Barack Obama, where she spoke to her supporters. And basically, she said, you know, I know you all are very disappointed, and we've got to, you know, regroup. And basically, she said, you know, the thing is, I think you just want to feel heard. In other words, she wants to feel heard. Come on. But so who knows whether she'll get a, she's got a speaking slot. And now Bill has agreed to speak on the third night of the convention. He's going to get a slot right before the vice presidential nominee will get to speak. So, you know, I know that her supporters have all this pent up energy, and I don't want you to feel reluctant to call. Some people are speculating because Bill Clinton is speaking right before that Hillary Clinton may be the vice presidential nominee. I don't know. I think we all need to listen to that Bill Clinton interview, and then and I've actually heard it in pieces, so it'll actually be good for me to hear it all at once too. It's a bit lengthy. We've got it to 8 minutes. So just to let you know, in case you know, I may break in occasionally and say this is AM 760 Progressive Talk, so you know you haven't fallen into the All Clinton All the Time channel. Now, I believe the former president of the United States, the only one to get elected to two terms since Roosevelt, is an amazing feat. We've got to have him speak. He is a party elder now, but the party does not belong to the Clintons anymore. I think that's going to take some getting used to. I hear some defensiveness in Hillary's postulations, when she says, oh, I know you have some pent-up energy, and her listeners are going, yeah. And some of the meanest letters I have gotten lately have not been from right-wing Republicans, Vince accepted, probably. Well, no, Vince wasn't really mean. He was just pithy. But some of the meanest letters I have gotten from people lately have been from people who are Hillary supporters who are still extremely angry. Now, I heard a feminist icon, she doesn't call herself an icon, she's up here writing at a writer's retreat, what's her name? Gloria Steinem is up here, and I heard her in a radio interview yesterday, and she's saying it was really annoying and deeply enraging for Hillary supporters to hear the kind of sexism, and she recounted some tales of sexism on the campaign trail that were really, really very creepy. But, you know, we just had a guy down in Florida arrested for wanting to assassinate Barack Obama. So, you know, there's a lot of hatred out there. I know there is. And there's, she doesn't think that there was hatred aimed at Barack Obama, she should just check the arrest warrant for the guy who had guns all over the place. He also apparently was mad at George Bush, but apparently threatened to assassinate Barack Obama, and apparently white supremacists are starting to use him as a fundraiser. Isn't that exciting? They think their membership will go up, up, and away. It's just really kind of scary out there. So the prejudice against liberals, and as we know from the pastor this week in Kentucky, it still rages on. It's still bad. And what annoys me about Hillary Clinton, and we'll play an ad for you a little later this morning too, is remember the quote that she had when she said, oh, John McCain, he's great, he's wonderful, he's willing to lead, he's ready to lead. Barack Obama, what does he have? A speech he gave in 2002. Well, first of all, Senator Clinton, it was 2004 at John Kerry's convention that he gave that wonderful speech, and he has much more to his record than just a speech. But because she was trying to belittle him, and people at the time, me included, said, you know, the right-wing Republican, whichever one it is going to use that ad. Guess what? They've done it. And it's there. So we're going to play all of that and more. We have O'Malley's sound. We have the interview with Clinton with Kate Snow. We've got today's about sound, I think. And then we're also going to talk to senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, Scott Lilly, about Bushonomics. So, Vince, I hope you stay with us. It's in the 8 o'clock hour, so you're still listening then. You got to hear it because Bushonomics not been good for the country on pretty much any measure whatsoever. Now, the other thing, too, we're going to talk about is what is the taste of the candidates in terms of their viewership. So it's the Olympics. It's the first day of the Olympics. It's August 8th, 2008, a lucky day in for the Chinese. Will it be a lucky day for us? We'll see. 303-713-7600. By the way, those tickets flew out the door for the community credentials. So if you haven't gotten it, I think all they have now is a waiting list. Wow. And there was trouble with the phones yesterday. It was not your imagination. I hope each and every one of you got a credential who wanted one. Let me know. 303-713-7600. That's kind of a Friday hodgepodge of what we're going to be talking about, mostly with you. It's pretty much open lines today, except for the interview with Scott Lilly. So please join us. And I'll introduce briefly the interview with Bill Clinton, and then I'll shut up coming up after the break, because I really want you to hear it, and I want to hear it too. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin on this Friday morning. Thank goodness it's Friday. Viernes Social. Social Friday on its way. It's 6:17 in the morning. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Stand by for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Good morning. Thank you all for joining us this morning. We've got some tasty bits of sound to play you this week. We've been accumulating sound all week, and I just want to play this, and I want to hear it too, because I've heard it in snippets, but I haven't heard it all at once. So what we're going to do here for you is play the interview with Kate Snow with William Jefferson Clinton. He was interviewed while on a trip. He's making a documentary about some of his charity work in Africa. But in it, he sounds, well, I don't want to characterize it. Let's just listen to what he has to say about Barack Obama, about the elections, and about his own role of late in election campaigning. So it's 303-713-7600. Keep that number in mind, because you'll want to comment on this, I think, as well as Hillary's role to come in the convention. And let's talk about Barack Obama, too, and what you want to hear from him in the convention, because it's kind of countdown from the convention. And I might not fill in before the convention, so I want to hear from you and what your thoughts are, and whether you got community access tickets, too. All right, community credentials, they're called. Here is the interview by ABC correspondent Kate Snow with Bill Clinton in Africa.
Change, redemption, is exactly what Bill Clinton needs right about now. After a grueling primary schedule and withering criticism of his performance on the trail in support of his wife, Senator Hillary Clinton.
It's been about 8 weeks. Your friends tell us that you're angry.
I'm not. And I never was mad at Senator Obama. I think everybody's got a right to run for president, to qualify as under the Constitution. And I would be the last person to ever begrudge anybody their ambition. And he was a superbly gifted candidate in this election and had a great operation. They thought this thing through. And I'm very proud that she didn't quit. I think it would have been a terrible mistake for her and for the country. And I think our party's in better shape. I think Senator Obama is going to go into the general election with a much more activated Democratic Party. I just think it was an amazing election. We never had one quite like it. Never had one that close. Never had one that was, you know, that kind of shook out the way it did. It was in fast, for, you know, people would be studying that thing for years and years and years.
Well, people are already studying it. And a lot of people, including your supporters, your donors, say that they blame you, at least in part, for her loss. I know you've heard this.
No.
Do you blame
yourself at all? I've heard it from the press. And I will not comment on this because it interferes with the issue, which is who should be elected in November. I made hundreds and hundreds of speeches, Kate. I bragged on Senator Obama hundreds of times.
In a wide-ranging, reflective interview in Liberia, he talked about one of the most unexpected turns in a race chock full of them. The fact that Bill Clinton, still a rock star here in Africa, and once so popular at home with the African-American community that he'd been called the nation's first black president, was accused of being a racist.
Jesse Jackson won South Carolina twice in 84 and 88. And he ran a good campaign, and Senator Obama's run a good campaign here. He's run a good campaign everywhere.
I'll just give you one example. this alleged South Carolina remark about Jesse Jackson.
Well, you made the remark about Jesse
yes.
Jackson.
But when people like you report it, they never say two things. Number one, two nights before, with the entire national press there, including representatives of your network, an African-American said that he wouldn't support Senator Obama. He was going to be for Hillary because he couldn't win. I said, sir, I disagree with you, and he could win this nomination. If he does, I'm going to do everything I can to elect him.
I believe that if he was able to beat Hillary in the primary, no way in the world would they vote for him. They're not ready to vote for a black president.
Lord knows after all the mean things they said about me in the Obama camp the last two or three days, I should be the last person to be defending him. But if he wins this nomination, I'm going to do what I can to help him become president. In other words, that remark, which all of you have a record of, destroys even the possibility that there was anything racially insensitive about what I said. You may say whatever you want. This is bad for Barack Obama to talk about this.
To go back over it.
Now, I will be glad, as soon as this election's over in January, to have this conversation with you and everybody else. I have very strong feelings about it.
And he has very strong feelings about the way reporters covered the primaries.
I don't like this kind of modern reporting that says, so-and-so anonymous says this, you know they all say this.
Jim Clyburn, not anonymous. New York Times came
not
out.
Not my supporter. Jim Clyburn.
Long friend of yours, longtime friend.
Used to be. He is not my, he was not Hillary's supporter. Never. Not ever, not for a day.
He said you lost a lot of African-American support.
No. The people who were...
He said you severely damaged your standing with African-Americans.
Yeah, that may be. By the time he got through working on it, that was probably true. But that's not the same thing. You said I hurt her. Go get yourself a map. Look where I went. And look what the vote was. Look at Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky.
You helped in a lot of places, North Carolina.
Yes.
Rural places?
No, not just rural places. Cities. Indiana. Go check. Mm-hmm. So... I got bad press. Why? Because I told the truth that there was a different standard applied to the finest candidate I ever supported.
Do you personally have any regrets about what you did campaigning for your wife?
But yes, but not the ones you think. And it would be counterproductive for me to talk about. There are things that I wish I'd urged her to do, things I wish I had said, things I wish I hadn't said. But I am not a racist. I never made a racist comment, and I didn't attack him personally.
You will campaign for him now, right?
Absolutely. The South Carolina thing was twisted for deliberate effect by people who weren't for Hillary. It was okay with me. But, you know, these people don't have an office in Harlem. They hadn't lived the life I've lived. And how can I have a conversation with two African-American congressmen who agree with what I'm saying, and I'm a racist? How is that possible? In order to create that feeling, which did hurt among people, you have to report it in a certain way that leaves out highly relevant data.
So what are you prepared to do
True
for...
True or not?
What are you prepared to do for Barack Obama?
So I'll ask
Obama?
You a question. See, if I ask you these no-win questions, you'd be uncomfortable. This is bad for him. What does this have to do with $4 gasoline, people not being able to pay their home mortgages, or whether people live or die out here?
You think he's completely qualified to be president?
I think that...
Because in the campaign, there were some things you said about, you know...
No, I never say he wasn't qualified. The Constitution sets qualifications for the president. And then the people decide who they think would be the better president. I think we have two choices. I think he should win, and I think he will win.
Is he ready to be president?
Well, in this... You could argue that no one's ever ready to be president. I mean, I certainly learned a lot about the job in the first year. He's shown a keen strategic sense in his ability to run an effective campaign. He's clearly can inspire and motivate people and energize them, which is a very important part of being president. And he's smart as a whip, so there's nothing he can't learn.
Could a woman really serve as commander-in-chief? Well, I think we answered that one.
When your wife, the senator, finally gave that speech on that Saturday in June, I was there, watched you a little bit, saw your face. Kind of looked like you'd been crying.
I hadn't been crying. I just was very proud of her. I think, you know, she has always been a great public servant, but she became a great political leader in this campaign. There is a big difference between being a great public servant and a great political leader.
Did you know it was over before she knew it was over?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Because I thought if her campaign on March and April and May was really oriented toward the grassroots and she won the primaries going home big enough, she had a real chance to win.
When we come back, Bill Clinton's work here in Africa as he puts the past behind him and begins redefining his legacy.
Well, I really want to see him be fundraiser in chief. I want to see him do great work as a man who stands on the astride the world stage. He's really defensive, isn't he? I mean, I'm glad I heard it in the whole context, because the way that they played it, they sounded like he just went, "I'm not a racist," out of nowhere. But he didn't. I agree with Barack Obama, whose comment about this interview has been, I think he was goaded a lot during that interview. And she was doing her job. I mean, they're all going to go after this because everybody's interested in it. Look at us. We're playing it, right? I'm interested in it. But I don't know whether it hurts or helps Barack Obama. Actually, I think it kind of helps him. And now I understand why I feel better about Bill Clinton speaking at the convention, actually. Although I hope he doesn't do a repeat of what he did in 2004. I hope he talks more about our country and what we need and why Obama's the right person to do it, rather than about his accomplishments, which is what he did last time. It's 303-713-7600. It's 6:31 in the morning. We've got a call waiting. We've got you waiting. 303-713-7600. We want to talk to you. But first, we want to make sure we get those people to work safe on this Friday morning, August 8th, 2008. Stand by for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk.
Thank you, Aaron.
Good morning. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin this Friday morning, the first day of the Olympic Games, starting up in China on August 8th, 2008. You'll be able to watch them tonight. The opening ceremonies apparently cost more than $1 million. So, wow. Several $1 million, probably. I don't know. I'm not as enthusiastic this year. That interview with Clinton, I'm still reeling. He sounds so defensive, and his voice is really hoarse. It'll be interesting to see what he says at the convention. Those of you who are lucky enough to be able to attend, if there are any delegates listening, I want to hear how you're excited, what you're going to do about it. But I also want to hear about the role of the Clintons versus the role of the Obamas. I think Barack Obama has bent over backwards to accommodate and to pay homage to the Clintons. And so yesterday, when the press was getting lathered up about, will Hillary try for this? Will she try to steal his thunder? I was like, no, just stop. But I think since he's going to speak now, that may have taken some of the wind out of that sails. What do you think? 303-713-7600, Michelle in Aurora. Thank you for waiting. What did you think? It was interesting to hear the entire interview, wasn't it?
Good morning.
It? Good morning.
I am so tired of hearing about the Clintons. This man won fair and square. And yes, of course, I'm an Obama supporter, but had Hillary won, I would be working just as hard for her. I can't understand what else they want this man to do. He has bent over backwards, just as you said, to be a guy of standing. He has never disrespected her. And I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing about it now. It's time to get over it. We cannot afford 4 more years of George Bush. I look around me and see the people suffering. I see people getting laid off. My job is going to be laying off people next week
because
of this economy. Oh. Please stop and think about what's more important. We have to have change. We have to have it.
No, I'm with you. And the McCain campaign got this ad together where they were running, you know, positive things. All of it was over 2 years old. except for the quote from Hillary, who on the campaign, when she dissed Barack Obama by saying, oh, and all he has is a speech that he gave in 2002, which given the fact that you get bone marrow tired, I would imagine, she made an error. It's actually 2004. But it's, you know, it's like, leave it alone. You already gave him enough ammunition. You already did all this. And when she appears with her supporters and says, I know we're still upset, as if there's some sort of, you know, special quality about them. Look, if you want to be equal, great. That's fine. Wonderful. You are. You lost. Okay. I'm sorry. You lost, but you lost nonetheless.
And he
stop
did it the right way. He never disrespected her.
Even when he said, Hillary, you're not, you know, you're pretty likable, Hillary. Which you remember when he muttered that at a debate? I never saw that as being rude or condescending. I just saw him being ironic. You know, he was being funny. But, you know, and now that we see him more often on the campaign trail displaying a wicked sense of humor, I really like his sense of humor. You can see it more clearly. But, you know, and you and I are his supporters, so I don't want Hillary Clinton supporters to feel shut out. But really, it's like we want a parade. We want, you know, to be able to nominate. Look, if she gets nominated on the floor of the convention, do you know what will happen to her? It will become immediately apparent that she has even less delegates now than she did, because many of them have converted to Obama delegates. Many of them have gone away now. They've moved on. Many of them have gotten behind Barack Obama. So, you know, I think, and it's going to become apparent, and you don't think that the press, Chuck Todd of MSNBC, will be sitting there going, well, she had, you know, this many delegates before the convention, and now she has 150,000 less. You know, I mean, she'll get to lose again. What
exactly.
The hell is the point of that?
And if the shoe were on the other foot, Barack Obama had 18 million supporters, too. Barack Obama, I mean, come on.
He
had just as many supporters, and I doubt he would have gone through all of this with her. He would have just dug in. He would have started the next day campaigning for her and saying that we need to unite this party.
Yeah.
And I wish some of the supporters would really think about that. I mean, honestly, he was never sexist. He had never put her in a predicament to say that she wasn't qualified enough to lead the country. And she's done all of that.
Yeah,
and now
I know.
It's coming back to hurt Obama.
And Bill Clinton, I'm sorry, he needs to go back and listen to himself in South Carolina. You know, he has that kind of defensiveness of a little boy when you get caught, you know, with your hand in the cookie jar. I wasn't racist. You know, that's the thing. I don't think he brought it up out of context. I think it pricks his conscience. You know, Congressman Clyburn was my friend. You know, because apparently Clyburn lectured him very sternly behind the scenes when he started. But you know what? They lost the support on their own. They were counting on and the mayor of, I think it was Philadelphia, stuck by him until the end. He's an African-American.
And
some African-Americans stuck by him, but not the majority, because of the way they behaved.
Right. And I guarantee you, if Obama is not elected, it will go down in their legacy, too. And I will never support her if she doesn't get on the bandwagon and start, this guy is electable, this guy has won the primaries, and this guy is who we should elect our next president. If they don't get on board, it's just going to be worse for them, and I hope they're thinking about that.
I hope so, too, because I agree with you. I think it will tarnish their legacy irrevocably if they help torpedo his candidacy. Thank you so much for your call. I don't know whether they're planning to do that, but I do think that they are doing things that aren't very helpful. And Bill Clinton was right. That interview, you know, probably wasn't as good for Barack Obama, but Bill Clinton kept talking. He could have said, you know, I don't want to comment on this. I don't want to talk about this. This is not productive. Thank you very much. I'm done now. But Bill Clinton is pretty constitutionally probably incapable of doing that, too. I mean, that's probably expecting him to do too much. Ed in Denver, what do you think? Welcome to J. Marvin's show. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm pretty swell. You?
Good. You know, listen, I've enjoyed listening to you for the past 2 weeks, and I'll make a pitch. I hope we could get you on the air in Colorado on a regular basis.
I really enjoy your show. Well, thank you. You know, I'm really enjoying talking to all of you, too. I had a great time filling in for Mario and a wonderful time this week, too. So, hey, please go ahead and let them know if you want to on the forum. That would be swell. I'd appreciate it.
I will do so.
Great.
You know, yesterday Hillary made the comment, and her supporters say it all the time, that they want their voices to be heard. But I'm unclear as to what they're going to say that they haven't already said. You know, what new is there to say? We've heard what they have to say. And then when you break it down even more, ideologically, the platform that the Democratic Party will go forward with Barack Obama, is essentially the same platform as if Hillary were the candidate, with maybe some small differences in health care. So I don't see what it is that they have to say. They never clarify what it is they have to say. They just say they want their voices to be heard.
They want their voices heard. What do they want to say? Hi, would give us it back, give it back? I think that's what they really want. They want do-over. You know, it's like, you know, I'm sorry, this isn't beanbag. This isn't, you know, this isn't a nice game of checkers. This is hardball politics. And you were outwitted and you were outlasted. And it was, you know, and the other thing is, I kind of fault the press for some of this, because I was reminded last night, it wasn't necessarily Super Tuesday, but it was by February 18th. She would have had to get, she had a 1 in 5 chance. Now, some responsible people like Keith Olbermann would mention it, and Chuck Todd, when pressed, would mention it. But, you know, the press had a vested interest in keeping it a horse race, too. And right. I suppose she had a vested interest in showing how well a woman can do. I mean, certainly Shirley Chisholm showed us how, I was reminded yesterday by Gloria Steinem, broke down the barrier of color and a woman running back in 1972. And look how long it took to take both a woman and an African-American to run and be so successful. Yeah. So it's really amazing, and it's history making. And if they reveled in that, I wouldn't mind so much. But they have this kind of petulant edge to their tone. You know, as if, you know, I was entitled. Look, hey, I've lost out to jobs to people I didn't think it was right. You know, but you know what you do? You suck it up and you move on. You go after something else. You say one door closes and another one opens. You know, is there sexism rampant in the radio business? You bet your boots. But if I sat and whined about it all the time, what would that bring me? Pretty much nothing except a sore stomach. And I don't like sore stomachs, so I don't, you know, it just doesn't do any good. I think you need to be aware of it, and I think you do need to try to change it as much as possible, and you have to show up and be the best you can absolutely be. And you know what? She got much better as a candidate. She did. Clinton's right about that.
Well, but, I have an awful lot of admiration for her. And, you know, I don't want to fight with the Hillary people. I never did. I think they were both admirable candidates. But I would ask the Hillary people, especially if any of you listen, if you want your voices to be heard, instead of just uttering that phrase over and over again, please tell us exactly what it is that you want to
what
have
do you
heard.
Want? And we'll try
I'd
to
like
give
to
it
know.
To you. Yeah, and we'll try
specific.
To give it to you. Yeah, exactly. You know, that is so great. Be specific. I'm going to give you credit, but I'm going to borrow that. Be specific. What do you want, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously Clinton wanted to be asked to speak. Great.
No, not Bill, Hillary.
He's done that. Yeah, Hillary wanted to be asked to speak. She's doing that. She's going to get a parade. They're going to have a big lunch. Emily's List, I think, is going to have a big lunch for Michelle Obama and for Hillary Rodham Clinton, and they're going to do this thing where they celebrate, because women's suffrage anniversary is during the convention.
Right.
So good, do all that. Even have a parade. But what is it that you want? What
I
do you need to be heard about?
I hope some of them call in and tell us, because I really want to hear. And if they can clarify, I'd like to listen to what they have to say.
I would, too, hey, actually.
One more thing on this, too, is, you know, I've had so many conversations with friends who are Democrats that are just still so bitter about this, and a number of them are still not wanting to vote for Barack. And it really makes me sad, because the Barack Obama supporters I know, there's very few that would have said, we would never vote for Hillary. And I hear so much from the other side that, oh, we're not, there's no way I can vote for Barack. And they're still hanging on to that. And this is going to be a very close election, and we need these people. So what
yes.
can we do to get you in our camp? Because they need to recognize the platforms are essentially the same. True, it's not your candidate, and I'm sorry that she's not there, but the cause is going forward. And there's no way this country can go forward with McCain.
None.
No way. No, it'll be back to the past. Talk about back to the future. We'll be back in the Stone Age. No thanks. Okay, I like your questions. I really do. Be specific about what you want. Why is it that you're even hesitating for a nanosecond to vote for Barack Obama? And how can we help welcome you back into the party fold? 303. Okay, I like it. Thank you, Ed, and thanks for your support of my candidacy as well.
I want to get you back in Colorado. Take care, Ed.
Woohoo! 303-713-7600. Steve in Denver, welcome to AM760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you. Hey, $1 million to open the Beijing Olympics.
No. The opening ceremony, I said.
Yeah.
More than a million.
I hope so.
Me too.
I mean, people spend more on a wedding than that.
A million?
Yes. Have you ever watched Platinum Wedding?
Yes, I have. I do. I wouldn't have one, but yes.
I just wanted to make one observation. You know, the whole time we've seen the Clintons going through their administration, I truly don't think we really knew who those people were. And I think, you know, just recently we're really starting to get a glimpse of, what really makes up their character. And I honestly feel that Hillary could be a little bit mentally ill.
I think she has a huge amount of ambition. I think that's part of it. And you know what? I don't think it occurred to them. They haven't lost an election since 1980 when Bill lost the governorship, you know, or maybe it was a House seat. But anyway, he lost an election in 80 and it really devastated them. And I think this knocked them for a loop. I don't think they thought for a second. I think they thought they were entitled. I think they really do believe that she's the best candidate. And, you know, that's fine. They're entitled to have that opinion. But, you know, part of the definition, though, you're right. I'm coming around to your opinion, Steve, of mental illness is believing things beyond all evidence to the contrary, you know,
yeah.
Or as we say it in certain circles, you know, keep believing, you know, that you know best. And keep, the definition of insanity is to keep doing something and thinking mm-hmm. you're going to get different results. You know, it's
exactly.
just I think part of the thing that she did was she really and she still you can hear it in that YouTube clip. She still thinks. She's entitled to something. So and so do her supporters, too. I have to tell you, you know, I was up here. I was a delegate to the state stuff and the county stuff and the district stuff. And when the Hillary support, when we split into our different groups, the mood in the room dramatically changed. I mean, it just did. Because, I mean, they knew they were going to lose because we're a caucus state. So they knew they were going to lose. You know what I mean? But
right.
suddenly it became about celebration and it became about inclusion and it became about all this fun stuff about, woohoo, we're going to beat the Republicans. Instead of, you know, rah, 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 we didn't get what we wanted, sexism. Rah, rah, rah. You know, it's like, okay. You feel like you're with a recalcitrant person who always complains, you know, like, it'll be okay.
I don't want that, I don't want that hoopla anymore. I don't want all the
drama.
The drama.
You know, and the press was calling it the Clinton-Obama drama, you know, because it rhymes with Obama. And it's like, Obama is not the one who's engendering the drama. Stop it.
I just have a gut feeling that Obama's going to be a great president. I just have a feeling about it, you know?
I do, too.
That he is who he says he is. I try to put every, you know, I'm kind of a cynic.
Me, too.
And
I'm an optimistic cynic, if that's possible.
And every time I watch him, I try to be as cynical as I can. But I think he's for real. And that's a big threat, you know, to all the other candidates and the people on the other side right now. You know, I think that he's the real McCoy, and
I think so, too. And he's so calm. You know, they have thrown so much at him. And, you know, it's like every day. And even then, he with pretty good grace and humor, he counters stupid questions from the press. You know, people yelling at him from the audience, being attacked on stage. He's amazing. Anyway, I think your phone's cutting out there a bit, Steve. So thanks for your call. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM760 Progressive Talk. We're going to go to Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk. I'd love to hear from you. What is the zeitgeist of this Clinton supporter? What is going on with you? What do you want? How do you want to feel heard? We're opening up the platform for you. I want to listen. I really do. I am going to be pithy and I am going to be pointed, but I do want to listen to you. But I think you're reaching the point where this is absurd. You know, you want a parade. You want this, you want that. It's like, stop it. It's not your it's not your campaign. Barack Obama won legitimately, fairly, playing hardball politics. You lost. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. It's time for Colorado's Progressive Talk, if I can get it out, with John Turk. Hey, John. I was just telling John Turk that every time I moan I'm not going to watch the Olympics, I end up watching it and loving it. I don't know what it is. Tiffany in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking about the Clinton zeitgeist and about whether we need a catharsis or energy and excitement. Hi.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I just want to make a quick point about what I think about the Clintons right now. Do you watch sports at all?
I do watch occasionally, yes, especially baseball.
Well, I'm going to just go, you know, Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. Right?
I do.
I just look at the Clintons like being these great players at one time while they were in the game. I mean, Michael Jordan was one of the best basketball players ever.
And had real trouble retiring. Go ahead.
Exactly. But then when he comes back, you know, he realized there's Kobe Bryant and LeBron James in the game now. And I just think that that's, the Clintons are just having a hard time accepting the fact that there's this new guy that's great, and they're going to be great people after Barack. I mean, you just have to, when it's your time to go, it's just your time to go. You got to let it go.
Gracefully bow, yeah. Figure out something else to do. She could become governor of New York and run in 2016.
You know, it's so frustrating and disappointing watching the Clintons, because I love the Clintons when they were there. I thought Bill Clinton was one of the best presidents ever. But, you know, there are going to be great people after him and his family. So, I don't know. I'm having a hard time accepting and dealing with the way they're doing Barack Obama. I mean, Barack seems to be handling it very well, but it's just, I don't know, it's just difficult.
I agree with you. And, you know, and it's really hard. Look at Brett Favre. You know, he's going to play with the New York Jets, for goodness sakes, because he can't give up the ghost. But I understand what you're saying, Tiffany. I think it's a good analogy. Thank you so much for your comments. I appreciate them.
Yeah, and you're doing a great job, by the way. So have a good day, Aaron.
Thank you. Let them know.
All right.
I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll be right back with Rose and Longmont and your phone calls, 303-713-7600. This is the Jay Marvin Show on Colorado's Progressive Talk.